I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Okay, Sal, I'm hoping that you could just tell us that you left like one thing somewhere in New York City that you want to see if it's still going to be there when you get back there. Like, you probably can't expect to have the same hotel room.
So, no, but I did think about that. In fact, one of the people down at the front of the hotel, I don't know, concierge, front desk, whatever, she had said to John Murphy and I, you know, if you guys need to leave something here, just let us know because you'll be back here next week. And I'm thinking, I kind of should do that just because I want to do it, right? It's like, I don't need to do it. I have very light stuff I travel with. It's going to go back in my bag easily. But I kind of want to do it just to do it, but I did not do that.
Could have stashed something in the men's room of a restaurant you ate at or something and like gone back to see if it was there when you like I don't know, like a your AAA card or something. Like something you don't need every day, but like, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to lose if it actually disappeared.
I did think about the room thing, Mike. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get the same room next week, right? Well, I'll let you know, though. I'll let you know. I mean, you never know.
They won, so maybe.
Maybe, that's right.
Does everybody get the same assignments?
Yeah, right. I mean, somebody would think of that. If they could get it, they would try to get it. Maybe if they're superstitious at all. I don't know. Are they? Is Sean McDermott superstitious?
She doesn't strike me as a really superstitious guy. He strikes me as much just routine.
Process.
Right? Routine more than superstition, I would say, for sure.
Yeah. Superstition runs against process sometimes or usually. Uh-huh. All right. So we talked about the Jet game on Monday. I don't want to call it the aftermath, but here we are a couple days later. You're talking to players. Everybody's looking ahead now to week two. What is some of what you heard today from the Bills?
You know, there's just this, it's always the same in that locker room right now. And you couldn't tell if they won 17-16, won, you know, 20-0, or lost 17-16 or 20-0. At least to me. I mean, because we don't know about the other, but it just seems like everything's kind of the same. It's not very boisterous or anything like that. It's just business as usual. And, you know, most of the players you talk to, they're kind of sounding the exact same they did last week at this time, just talking about a different team. They're very well coached in that regard. They keep everything kind of close to the vest. They don't give you a lot as far as, you know, their opponent and their game plan, obviously, things like that. Very respectful of their opponent. And, you know, but looking back now, because there is a win to talk about, a lot of the theme was how the team kind of stayed calm in every situation they had, especially in the offensive huddle with Josh Allen. One of the phrases I've heard multiple times this week is calm breeds calm. And that's why they were able to do what they were which is the leaders on the team, especially Josh, he stayed calm and never let it impact him, affect him. Therefore, everybody else stayed calm and just went out and did their job.
Is that how it felt on the sideline, too? Like, why, like as it was happening live? Because I know, like, you know, it's weird. You know, we're watching 500 miles away here on TV. And the whole time, I just kind of thought, like, I don't know, they're the better team here.
Yep.
You know, so I'm thinking, like, what advice would I give my kid if he were involved in this game? You know, I know it's vastly different, but, like, keep playing.
That's right.
The stuff that's going wrong is weird. You know, you're responsible for some of it, certainly, but it should not, like, overall, you're doing the right things. So just keep doing what you're doing, and it'll come together.
Yeah, and you know, Bulldog, what's funny about that is I found myself thinking about Andy Reid in this regard this week, because that is something I always thought about Andy Reid and the many times that watching his teams over the years and going back, and there was a game in Buffalo where the Bills kind of they kind of outplayed him most of the game, but the Chiefs just kept sticking with it. At the end, they made a play on fourth down. They won the game. And I always just said to myself, boy, Andy Reid just teaches his guys to keep playing. Just keep playing. If you just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, eventually you get that play, and the other team doesn't do what they're supposed to be doing. And personally, I kept thinking on the game on Sunday is, boy, like, the Bills need one play here. They need one play, and they might actually be able to just, this thing could start steamrolling. But then I even thought to myself, I don't know if the Jets are quite as prepared for this moment as the Bills. They seem like a team that might be, okay, like, we are where we are, but are we ready to kind of close the deal here? I was more thinking about, could the Jets close the deal, and then the Bills just kept playing. And then, of course, you have the tie between Sean McDermott and Andy Reid, and you know how much Sean admires Andy so much and worked for him. And that's why I thought about it a lot this week, which is Sean's team, McDermott's team on Sunday, reminded me a lot of an Andy Reid coach team, which is they never stopped playing, and they just waited for that moment and for you to make mistakes.
Yeah, I understand people wanting to give the Bills this credit because the culture thing is such a big point, and I'm not anti that whole concept in general, but I didn't think it was that hard to keep playing in this game. It's not like they if a team is just dunking on you, then and just, you know, just doing what they want, I think that and you're down 16-0, it's a little more demoralizing. You know, I think. Yeah, I didn't think it was that much of a big mountain to climb for them to keep their heads in that game Sunday.
I agree with you, but I think that as you keep looking towards the clock, it becomes a race against time at some point, right? Yeah. At some point, you're just going to run out of time, no matter even if it's easy to keep playing. And you figure, look, every time we get the ball, we're moving it. Whenever they get the ball, we're stopping them, but at some point, we're going to run out of time if we don't score points here. And I think that became more of the issue. But once they moved it on that first touchdown drive and they scored, I just thought to myself, boy, there's a lot of time here. Like, each team is going to get a couple more possessions. I think the Bills very well could win this game still.
Yeah, it helps to get that one play if you're willing to go for it on fourth down in the example you mentioned with Kansas City, but that was not the thing here in this game with the Bills and the Jets. You know, body language is a part of this, and I've got friends who make fun of McDermott, how every time they show him on TV, he's clapping. Something goes bad, they show McDermott, and he's always clapping. But, I mean, that's by design, too. That's got to
be.
That's what, you know, he wants to look positive and seem positive, even if he somehow in a certain moment isn't thinking positive.
Well, listen, at the which game was it? I can't remember if it was Carolina or Detroit. There was a play. Who fumbled? It wasn't Perry. So T.J. Yeldon might have fumbled in one of the preseason games. And he goes out in the next series for a special teams play. And he kind of came off the field late. Like, he kind of had his head down. And McDermott was, like, just clapping, and he ran up to him. He's like, come on, let's go. He goes, I could basically see him and kind of read his lips. And he was basically saying, it's all right. Just keep playing. You're going to be fine. We make mistakes. Let's go. It's okay. And I noted that in the broadcast. And then Eric Wood, who played for Sean, said, Sean McDermott is very much about body language. If he noticed that T.J. Yeldon was doing that, that's absolutely why he would go up to him, because he knows that he has to make sure that, you know, he keeps him in the game. And what you just said is right. And Sean is very much individual focused on that. Yes, it's all about the team, but he's going to look at every player. And Eric's point was, he'll notice if you are particularly individually being like that, and he will address that and make sure that that doesn't happen.
This is an area, if I were ever to have been really good at sports, this is an area I think where I would be really good. Because I'm like, to me, it's just not anything to sort of figure out that you should just keep going. You know, comebacks happen in sports. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, that's sort of the randomness, and I'd rather score early and have control of the pace of the game, things like this. My wife's a tennis player. We watch tennis, and they're constantly harping about momentum on these broadcasts. The greatest players in the history of the sport, ever, McEnroe. They're like big momentum. It's like they almost don't know what else to say. I'm like, you know, play the next point. And she's like, well, you know, that's harder to do than to say. I'm like, everything's harder to do than it is to say. But there was a player, Jeannie Bouchard from Canada, who kind of came and went, still out there. But she had this coach. She had a run in Australia a few years ago, and she had this coach who was like, yeah, we just play the next point. And he was so convincing about it. Like, yes, finally somebody is like sort of about that and teaching that. And so, I mean, of course, I'm not telling you any of this from the perspective of playing like really high-level sports, if that needs to be said. It probably doesn't. But I just do love the area. I do love the topic, because I kind of think it's something, if you can't figure it out yourself in the pros with all the people that are around there to help make you your best, that should be something that teams focus on and do for players?
Well, Mike, a couple of things on this, and you're right, and I agree with you. Let me take it from an individual perspective first. I've been around a lot of coaches in my life, and I think the best coaches are the ones that can adapt to all different personalities and know how to massage that. I mean, that is what it really – true leadership is understanding the individuals that you have to lead. It's not always about – it's about the collective team, but that's how you do it. You understand the individuals and how to communicate with them because everyone has their own personality. Even when I was coaching kids, some kids you had to kind of put your arm around once in a while, and some you had to kind of – get in the face of once in a while. That's the only way to get them to understand. But you had to understand that, and you had to figure it out, and maybe you figured it out wrong, and there's some trial and error that goes on, and I'm sure Bulldog has seen that with his son and the high level that he's playing at right now. So I think, like, for example, Bill Cowher was great at that as a coach. I don't know if Bill Cowher was great at X's and O's. I think he was great at that stuff, though, and I think that's why his players loved him and responded to him. But the other part of this I think I'll say is, and we – talk about the word Bulldog just said, the culture word, and we've have our disagreements on that, but I think that's what this is to me. See, that's what this is to me, which is Sean McDermott has created that over the last 3 years where this is how he coaches, this is how he teach, and he's laid that foundation that it doesn't matter if everything's going really well for you or if everything's going really poorly for you, you just keep playing and you stay the same, and he believes that that's going to get you through and it's always going to keep you more consistent. Whereas, and I don't know this, but I take a look at the Cleveland Browns last week, things started to unravel and it went downhill fast. They had 18 penalties. Like, there was a lot of problems. And you have personalities on that team that are, we know, are starting, you know, they have very, they're big egos or whatever, big personalities. Mm-hmm. And a first-year head coach who maybe hasn't done that yet and hasn't gone through that process with them. So, to me, when we debate the word culture and stuff like that, that's what it is to me. Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, that's what you're trying to do, is to lay that foundation so that you can get through those times because of those things.
Yes, and ultimately, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding here. The overall point, or the ultimate point is, let's just say, let's take Odell Beckham. Would you rather have Odell Beckham on your team or not? Or would you rather have Odell Beckham than a certain other player that you have instead? And if your answer is no, it's because of things like this, maybe. I'm just trying to give an example, so I'll pick him. It's an easy place to start. Mm-hmm. And so, how do you score it? How does this get graded? Well, wins, right?
Yep.
And the Browns doing that is one way, and the Bills doing this is another. And it will be, in this case, it will be determined by who wins more games, you know? And the Bills can't have any player they want. And maybe neither can the Browns. I mean, you know, they're not the Patriots or the, you know, who? Green Bay or some team where just everybody wants to play. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is. So that's really what it comes down to. Like the one side of it, the culture side of this argument is always very, to me anyway, very, very, it's like obvious, you know, it's sort of course I'd rather have a positive attitude. I'd rather have, you know, these certain things, work ethic, all these kinds of things. But if I'm choosing that over another player who, you know, the Bills have had players they let go and other players they don't have, whatever. If I'm choosing that instead, am I better off? And that is the fundamental question.
So. Sal Capaccio is on the Western Hotline. His appearance with us is sponsored by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I feel like we're spending more time talking about this Jet game than I was expecting to do today. But I have one more question about it. And I'm just curious if any more was said by anyone here today about the way they opened the game with the passing. And was there any more commentary from the players on that, from Josh Allen on that, Sal?
I don't remember specifically. Okay. The press conference, the transcripts and stuff, I'm trying to go back. But I know just from talking with people, they even in the locker room, talking with offensive players, a lot of it is just born out of the trust that they have in Josh Allen to be able to – and I think you guys asked me about, you know, it might have been you guys when asked me Monday maybe about the ability to change things. And it's a double cadence, basically, is what it is, which what they did, which is you have the one cadence which starts and they all spread out. And then Josh does have the ability then to change the play if he wants to. And he can, you know, kind of see what's going on and things like that. And everybody I've talked to basically says, look, I mean, that's what he has the opportunity to do and he has the ability to do because that's what everyone's trusting him to do. So I think that And then the starting off with all the passing, that was really a game plan. They felt that they could spread them out. They felt they could take advantage of them, and that's pretty much what they did early on, although they had some critical mistakes.
So what's the headline from today as far as preparations go here? Is there anything Taron Johnson, I guess, might be the most significant thing that might be missing on defense?
Yeah, I think so, and it's interesting to me that, you know, they're a little thin at corner. You know, Saran Neal is there, and he can play, and he will if he has to. He was the big nickel last week. He came in for Taron last week, played a lot of snaps, so that's fine. But, you know, you're going against a really good running back here in Saquon Barkley. It's interesting to me how they're going to use their personnel this week because Le'Veon Bell is also really good. They're just a different kind of guy. You know, Saquon's a big dude, and he can run you over. He can run around you. He's fast. He can run routes. He can catch the ball. He can kind of do everything. So personnel-wise, I'm interested to see how they play this come Sunday. But, yeah, with Taron Johnson sideline, it definitely gets them a little bit undermanned on the defensive side. So that would be the biggest thing. And then Jordan Phillips was not on the list today to miss practice, but he did miss because of an illness. So, you know, hopefully it's something short-term, but he wasn't out there today.
Right. Kevin Johnson didn't play a single snap on defense in this game on Sunday, right?
I don't believe he did, but, you know, he is a backup corner to Levi Wallace, so, you know, he's an outside guy right now, and he can play inside, but they felt good, obviously, about having Saran Neal back up Taron and play there, so, you know, the other guys pretty much played the whole game, other than the injury to Taron Johnson and then Saran Neal coming in.
Did you guys see the video of DeMarcus Lawrence on the Cowboys refusing the Giants fan kid the autograph?
I have not. I think that was from a little while ago.
Sunday.
Yeah,
okay.
I did not see
what happened.
A kid in a Barkley jersey approached him and called him by his name, DeMarcus, like he knew who he was, and asked him for an autograph, and Lawrence said, no, you need the right jersey on. Wouldn't do it. I think I like it. Do you guys respect that or what?
No.
You
it's
don't?
A little kid
I think I do.
Wants an autograph.
No. Not like a toddler either. Is there an age here? Would you feel at a certain age you'd like a 20-year-old, would you say like no is fine?
Maybe.
What about 15?
Right on the edge. Right on the edge.
Sal, what do you think? Any place for an athlete, any place for a player saying no to an autograph? Request from a fan who's wearing the other team's jersey.
Maybe once you get to be like facial hair, I don't know. Is that
facial hair?
Like
right.
It?
No? Can you shave? Okay, right.
Yeah, something like that. I haven't seen that.
All right, check it out.
I was at a Rays Yankees spring training game just a few years before I moved back to Buffalo. Who was it? I can't remember. There was a first base coach for the Rays. He had played a while. He'd been in the league, and I can't remember who it was. I remember having a baseball card and everything. But I'm wearing Yankees gear, and I'm down there kind of near there. And he comes over, and he's chatting with the fans, and he's saying, I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, and as I wanted to talk to him, went over to shake his hand. He just kind of looked at me and walked away, and I think it was because I was wearing Yankees gear.
Good.
He didn't want to talk to me. I mean, I wasn't even asking for an autograph. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? You know, it's really cool. And he just kind of looked at me, and I'm telling you, I could tell he, like, saw I was wearing Yankees gear and just walked away from me.
I have a story from when I was really little.
That was just not cool to me. Like, what do you mean? What are you doing?
I have a story from when I was really little that's almost definitely not true.
Okay.
Oh, great.
But in my family, I don't even know if anybody else would care enough in my family to remember this, but this is the story that has always been told in my family.
Okay.
From one of my first days ever at Riverfront Stadium. One of the few, there's a few weird things about Bulldog and me that we have in common, including that both of us went to our first baseball game in Cincinnati, right?
Yes.
So I was in Cincinnati, this would have been like 1980, and I was with my parents and my grandparents. My grandparents lived in Xenia, Ohio at the time. My mom was from Xenia. So we're at the Reds game, and they had agreed to buy me a hat for the game. We sat in left field. I remember all this is for sure right.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the Dodger hat. And this is like sort of how I've always been. I wanted a Dodger hat.
That is not surprising, Sal.
Not the Reds hat, because I just liked it. It was just nicer looking to me. The blue, I liked the blue. I wanted the blue hat. So I'm 7 or 8 years old. I want the Dodger hat. And so they bought me a Dodger. It was a hard hat.
Okay.
Did you ever get a hard hat as a kid, too?
Yeah, the batting helmets? Yeah, for sure.
So
the band inside.
The leather-ish, the brown.
Yeah, plastic.
Not leather, but
plastic, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So they bought me a Dodger hard hat, and I'm sitting in left field with my parents and my grandparents, and the Reds left fielder was Dave Collins. You remember him?
Yes.
Base stealer type, wore glasses.
Yeah.
Sal, I'm sure you had his card too.
Yeah.
So we're like 10 rows up or whatever in left field at Riverfront Stadium. The Reds are playing. I don't even know if it was against the Dodgers. Maybe not. I'm wearing a Dodgers helmet. And the story we tell, this is the part that's almost definitely not right, is that Collins, at one point early in the game, looked up and saw me and shook his head at me. And then I switched to a Reds hat because my family told me that that had happened, or maybe we all saw it or something, or thought we saw it. So then I put the Reds cap on that, like, my mom had. And then he turned back around later and...
thumbs up.
Thumbs up or a smile, I don't know which. Acknowledged the change.
Right.
So, probably not true. Possibly true.
I think I know who the guy was. I just looked up the coaching staff.
Let me guess, McKay.
No.
Okay.
It was George Hendrick.
Okay.
George Hendrick.
Yep.
He wanted nothing to do with you.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That is right.
It was George Hendrick.
Cool.
And he blew me off because I had Yankees gear on because he was coaching the Rays, and I just wanted to have a simple conversation with him.
Good. I say, good.
I still remember. It's like a decade ago, and I remember it.
Fine. I would not criticize him.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome, guys.
Those batting helmets were the best.
Yes, I mean,
I love those.
I had an Expos one too.
I had a Red Sox one, and I had a Blue Jays one. I bought the
white panel.
Yeah, white panel. I bought the Blue Jays one at an Orioles Red Sox game. We went on a school trip with my eighth grade class. Went to Toronto for a day and did, you know, Museum of Science and whatever. And it ended at Exhibition Place, the Exhibition Stadium. And I bought that helmet.
Nice.
There. It was awesome. And we left the game. It was extra innings. We had to get home, and we left. And I remember being mad. Like, I remember doing something that outwardly that showed I was upset that we were leaving a tie baseball game in, like, the 11th inning or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the teachers looking at me like, I've done all I can for you,
kid. Yes.
Like, I always felt ungrateful about that he saw me being upset that we were leaving a baseball game because my parents were waiting in the parking lot of West Junior for us to get home. I'm like, okay, I get it now. But as an eighth grader, I was like, the game is tied.
Sure.
What are we doing?
All reasonable.
Yeah.
Do you have anything more to say about Sal being on?
No, I'm done. I already did it.
Oh, you did?
I slipped it in effort. See? Seamlessly. Sorry. Right in the middle of the conversation.
I meant more than that.
Yeah, no.
Not really.
No, I'm good.
803-0550. Bills, Jets, Bills, Giants. This Cowboys guy. Antonio Brown.
Batting helmets.
Batting helmets. Back with the update after this break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, it'll be their home opener and against a very good Giants team. And, you know, no one should be sleeping on that team, and we'll be looking forward to their best game. And it'll be a great matchup against a really good team.
Mitch Morse, how good the Giants are. Come on. How come the only people in the world who think the Giants are good are Bills players? Like, or whoever the Giants are playing.
Well, it's going to be next week. Who they play next week? Yeah,
the Cincinnati. How can that be? How can the only people in the world be those people? Shouldn't they know the most? All right. I know. Feel like you have some responsibility in this life, to be honest, and I'd probably be terrible at sports for this reason too. So what are you talking about? How good is you hear McDermott on Eli Manning? I mean, Eli Manning was never as good as he's describing. Super Bowl wins, whatever. I know. Sorry for caring. Feel like you're supposed to be honest in life.
I think he was better than you give him credit for earlier in his career, but still, he's not been good for a while. No argument. And I continue to be, I don't know when this changed for me. I'll tell you now, like there was a point in time where you getting upset about that continuously like frustrated me because I never really knew what to do with it. And now it just amazes me that it still upsets you.
Eli or honestly?
No, just in general. Just the guys talking about it. Whatever. Like it's just I love that you can still be bothered by it.
You know.
I mean it as a compliment. Yeah. I just don't even hear it anymore.
I hate it so much.
I just ignore it.
I hate that the only people in the world who think the Giants are good are the Bills. I hate it so much. And I know it's meaningless, and I still hate it. Yes. You know why? I think this, too. What if they were honest about it? Like, let's just assume that they're not being honest. Let's assume that Sean McDermott and Mitch Morse really don't think that the Giants are great. Can we do that?
Okay.
Want to do that?
Sure.
Want to give them that much credit?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think when you compete for a living, I think you are taught to respect who you're playing, especially at the highest level, and that's really what that is just respecting them.
Thinking of no other way of saying it.
Yeah, I think on some level that there is something real happening there. It's just you know we from here go like, oh come on, you know. But anyway, go ahead.
Am I great at football because I'm better than my kids at it? No, like it's a relative thing. It's always a relative thing. I know, but I recognize what you're saying is true too. So let's assume that the Bills know that the Giants are not a great team.
Okay.
Let's assume that they know that the right answer to any question about the quality of the Giants is, are you kidding? Right? Is it a different game if they say it? If Sean McDermott says instead, I don't know the words. Should I know the words of what he actually said?
No, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter.
What if he actually says, Eli Manning is shot? Next question. If he actually says that, is it a different football game Sunday?
I don't think it changes anything from the Giants' standpoint. They're going to try harder. I wouldn't buy that. But I think the message you send to your team about the quality of the opponent that you're playing and how seriously you're taking the preparation does matter. I think a group of guys. If Sean McDermott said, I mean, come on, these guys are a joke. The guy can't even move. Did you see the game on Sunday? Then I think you run the risk of 53 guys not all preparing the way they should. That could get you beat.
I think that's a good answer.
That can get you beat. So I think that's why you do it. You know, I think you. So it's it maybe it, it, you know. I'm sort of glad we went down this road. It might serve two purposes. It does show some deference to your opponent, like you're respecting them, but you are also guarding against your guys sitting around going, man, coach said these guys suck. I think I'll have an extra beer.
I think that this is a great answer, and I accept it. Do you think Bills players take their cue on how good the Giants are from Sean McDermott? Maybe the answer is yes.
I think to some extent, yeah.
They wouldn't know? Like, they don't follow the league? They need their coach to tell them how good the Giants are? Like, wouldn't you already – you're playing in the NFL. Wouldn't you already know that? Wouldn't you already know they were terrible last year? They got blown out in a game you probably watched on the plane? No, you didn't do that. Let me have that back. You're not allowed to watch that on the plane. You got to be watching your own game film on the plane. Whatever. They know what happened.
Yeah.
How can you – play in the league and not know the league? And you know what? Some of this, I mean, I wouldn't want to write all this down because I think, you know, there are probably plenty of guys who are just like so focused, and this is how I think the Bills want it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe all teams or most teams want it. You're so focused on yourself and your own team that you're not, the rest of it is just noise.
That you really don't know what is going on with the Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, sure. It would be so outrageous if anybody did actually say these things. Like, they all know not to do it. They all think, and you know, personally, if like we'll stay with McDermott here, personally, it wouldn't be good for him to sound like that.
No.
So he would never want to sound like that.
You'd come off like a jerk. You know, like what have you done?
The guy's got two rings, you know.
Who are you?
Yeah, like you wouldn't want to sound.
Yeah. Yeah, no? I mean, I don't think I would like it. You know, like, just shut up.
Yeah.
You know, so, all right.
I just feel like, you know how I'm with certain fans, right? Like,
yes.
I just feel like you should always be trying to be right. And when these guys talk to the media, they often sound like they don't care about that. When fans call in, when Justin calls in and says 13-3 every year, like he doesn't care. It doesn't sound like he's caring about being right. It sounds like he's, you know, go Bills, right? And that's fine. Yeah, it has its place.
He wants to be Justin on the radio that said that we're going to go 13-3 and tell all his friends and like, you know, whatever. Yeah, sure.
Here is Matt with us. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to say I'm excited the Bills won. However, just a couple of comments. You know, we're just, if the Jets would have intercepted that pass, it was right in his hands inside the 30, we would have kicked three. And I think the Jets aren't a bad team. I mean, their defense only let a point more than we let up. And if their field goal kicker makes the kick, one of the two, we lose the game. So in the third down conversions, I was concerned. I mean, they're bragging about our defense. I want to say when I was watching, the Jets were like 9-for-11 for over 10 yards. So I want to hear your input on that, on the third down conversion against. And I think it's way too early to judge things, and I hope we don't take the Giants lightly. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I don't care if it's too early because it's our job to do it, and I enjoy doing it. I think having said all this we just said for the last 5 to 7 minutes on the Giants, I still think the Giants might be as good as the Bills, and like it's a two-point spread. It's obvious to most people that it's, these teams are considered kind of close. Maybe. I mean, is that wrong to say, too? The Bills are favored on the road. There's some significance to that.
Yeah, that's...
But, yeah, you know, how far ahead of the Giants they are, I guess we'll wait until Sunday to see.
They're not playing
Maybe not at all.
They're not playing the Dolphins. Right? I mean, you know, and even that we'll see. You know, it was 1 week. But, yeah, look, man, if that, sure. I mean, that's...
That's every game.
I mean, that is absolutely how it goes. And there's ifs and buts and cans and nuts and aunts and uncles. And there's all kinds of cliches I could spit out at you here that might be inappropriate. It's just how it goes. It's football. Yeah, yeah, if this had happened, we'd be having a different conversation. You're right. But it didn't, and they survived their turnovers, and, you know, fine.
I don't think I sound like I think the Bills were great against the Jets. I don't think I do.
No,
if this caller is listening to us and thinking at least that I sound like that, I don't think I sound like that.
No.
I mean, I want to be appropriate, you know? They have a long way to go before they prove that they're good. But they also did win, and this is an interesting team right now.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I might sound more. I think I may be more excited about it just because of how they. I've made the point numerous times. I mean, I hope it's significant how they opened the game. You know, I hope that they hang on to that and do more of that because I think that's a really important thing to do, not just because. You think it's a way to win the game. I mean, that I know is why they would do it, but you also have a job. You have other facets of your job here. You need to win this game, but you also need to develop your offense to a point where you can play with Kansas City and Los Angeles and like teams that are going to put points on the board. Like that's the idea. So you need to get Josh Allen to a point where he can be expected to do that. Like, that's why you drafted him. That's what you want to do. And I really hope that we remember that opener, not for the turnovers and not even for the missed field goals or the final score, but for they came out through it like crazy. Oh, they're doing that again. Good. You should do more of that. That is it's as important as anything you can accomplish in the standings is developing Allen to the point where you can count on him to be one of the top five quarterbacks in the conference or the league or whatever, like we talked about at the very outset of the show.
Yes. I thought to ask Sal about that too, but we ended up talking about Dave Collins and George Hendrick.
And batting helmets.
803-0550. Thank you, Matt. Line's open for you with us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
Well, we've been communicating even these last few days, and he's going to be sliding in here, and you know, by tomorrow he'll be here with the guys, and I know that it's going to be fun to work with a player with that skill and ability. I have nothing but excitement for working with him. I know there's a lot of potential there that's still untapped, and it's up to me and the coaches to find out what that is.
Ralph Krueger, get used to that voice. Camp is starting tomorrow, right?
Guys report tomorrow. I think they don't practice until Friday. And he's talking about Ristolainen in there, by the way. Camp is, we're there, man. They'll play, and they play, I don't have it right in front of me right this second, but they play preseason games like that.
Next
like,
week. Like
Monday.
Monday. Wow, okay, right.
Not home, though.
Right, in Pittsburgh. In,
Pagula Ice Arena, Penn State. Penn State. Yep. Yeah, against the Penguins.
Right.
What's the line?
Sabres by a goal and a half.
Seven.
The Sabres by a goal and a half. -7.
-7. Game script. No, I don't know. I'll stop.
Yeah, Kruger, the Sabres' last Canadian coach before Kruger would be Nolan, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Bilesman, Housley are both American guys. Yeah.
Before Nolan, Ron Ralston, born in the States, right?
Yeah.
He's American?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, Kruger is like maybe what's changed? Certain things have changed. A few new players, a few guys are gone. Most of it's the same. We got some new logos and stuff.
Yeah, but not enough has changed. Although Kruger is hopefully significant.
Yes, Kruger is my number one thing that's different. I think he's my number one. I'm excited about him. I like the idea of him very much.
Mm-hmm.
I almost cannot believe they have not done more with the roster. I cannot believe it. What explains that? Like, what is your defense? No pun intended. Like, how are you still with this, sitting here with this roster? Like, Carolina in the last week has made a trade or two that I like a lot.
Yeah,
like, what? I don't want to get upset. I'm excited about the coach. If he's amazing, the Sabres might be good. If he's not, what's the plan? Wait till next year again? Like, what? How are you going to get good? What are you going to do to get good? You know, and this is Ristolainen, and this is, you know, what are you going to hear all the time, starting right here? Or not starting, but including right here. What are you going to hear all the time? Well, you know, situations and, you know.
It's up to me to make them good.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. How many years is this? How many coaches is this?
It's four coaches.
For him?
I think that's, yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have sports and then get back to football. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Want to talk about the Giants game? You want to talk about this Cowboys guy, DeMarcus Lawrence, not a no-name at all, who refused to sign an autograph for a Giants fan who was a kid because he had a Giants jersey on. And I think I'm okay there, but, you know, it's debatable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.